At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Yes, guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Today is May 22nd. Pirates take the series from the Reds despite only scoring 4 combined runs in their 2 wins. Who cares? A win's a win. It's not like the 1960 team has given up their World Series rings just because they got outscored by the Yankees in runs. They won 4 games, the Yankees won 3, the Pirates get the ring. I'm not going to downplay the offensive problem here, but all in all, it's about winning games. They haven't hit. They haven't been winning games. It's good to see them do one or the other. You know what I mean? As I said, it's good to see this team playing against the team who's more on their level. Reds hovering around 500, right where I've been saying this Pirates team should actually be. I will conditionalize it just like I do every time. Not that 500 is good enough, but that's all they built this offseason. They can at least give us that. Let's talk about the offense, because we've all been talking about the offense, the talk of the town, the thing that everybody's talking about. 26 consecutive games of 4 runs or less ties an MLB record. And is this crazy? I mean, it's definitely a thing. I get it. But the only issue I take with this is the cutoff really should be 3 or less. I mean, the magic number is 4. I've been talking about this since we started the podcast. Get to 4 runs and pitch well. You should win more games than you lose. So let's navigate this. Let's talk about this. It's something that they've not had a game where they pile on runs of 5 plus. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing when you go 5 plus. Maybe 6 plus would be more accurate to say that. I mean, five runs is a, you know, normal amount. It's not like 5 runs is, you know, electric offense or anything. But anyway, let's take a look at some of this, right? We're going to look at something that actually means something more than the statement alone. 26 straight games, 4 or less runs, right? The Pirates have scored 4 or less runs in 44 games this year. That's the most in the league. 4 or less. The Royals are second with 42 games. Somehow, KC has a .452 winning percentage in those games. The Pirates have a .256 in those games. Rockies, 39 games. I don't know if their game's over yet, but at the time of recording this, their game was still going on. It's 9-3 in the middle of the ninth for the Rockies. So they could... they could add a 40th game in there. And the White Sox, 38, and so on. 13 or 14 teams are over 30 games of 4 runs or less, which is kind of what I'm saying here. Like, we're just saying, because you're crossing over into that 4-run threshold, you're going to add a lot of teams to this, because, like I said, 4 runs is kind of the standard. That's where you want to be. Now, there are some games you're going to have to score more to win, and there are some games that you're going to get away with winning with less than 4. But it just depends on where you're at with this, right? And we talked about KC. They've been pitching really well. They're actually almost to 500 in that scenario, which is crazy. I forget what the actual record is. It's something like 19-22 or something like that in games where they score four or less. I think it'd be really interesting for a team like that when I didn't run these numbers, but where are they at if they're exactly four runs? Like, what's that? Matter of fact, it might actually be in my notes. KC is not. Well, you know what? I got it pulled up right now. I just have the wrong year in there. So I can actually tell you in just a second. Kansas City, when they score exactly four runs, are 8-1. So that tells you where they are when they're less than four runs. But if you score four runs, they're 8-1. That's a team that's pitching well. And the Pirates are pitching well, but they haven't had that kind of fortune. And we'll get to those numbers there when they score exactly four. I don't think that's the biggest problem. What we're talking about is getting to four. I think four is a place that you want to get to and then add on when you need. But then it's not a streak. And everybody wants to talk about a streak. And everybody wants to talk about records. And everybody wants to talk about how the Pirates are so pitiful. And so they, and this isn't backing them up, but like throwing that four in there is, it kind of ruins the streak to me. Because four is not bad. Four is not bad in any stretch of the imagination. Four runs in a game is never bad. If you score four and you lose, it's kind of on pitching at that point. So like, that's where I'm at with this. I don't like the streak because of that. So let's talk about the four runs exactly that I just brought up about Kansas City. The Pirates have scored four runs exactly equals four 13 times this season. That's the most in the league. Now, that means that there are other teams like the Cubs who are scoring more than four, right? They're averaging like 5.8 runs a game or something crazy. So like you have that, right? You have that, those crazy teams that are going to get above that. I mean, the Cubs are 3-2 when they score exactly four runs. You got 11 games by Atlanta. They're 7-4. The Yankees, 11 games. They're 7-4, scoring exactly four runs. Miami's had some pitching troubles. They're 3-6. I talked about KC 8-1. And then it goes down from there. The Pirates are 5-8 in these games. That's not actually great. Like, you got to win the games you score four runs, especially when you've pitched well. Getting to four runs is a good thing. I mean, that's the 25th best winning percentage of these teams. And obviously, like, the Rockies have scored four runs six times. They're 1-5 in those games. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be there. The White Sox have only scored four runs four times, and they're a 500 team when they score four runs. I mean, we can talk about that. 19 teams have at least a 500 record. 19 teams have at least a 500 record when they score exactly four runs, and five more teams are only one game under 500 when they score exactly four runs. So that's an issue, the fact that we're not winning games when you score four. But let's talk about maybe the real problem, and that's scoring less than four. Three runs or less. The White Sox and the Rockies with 34 games, and the Rockies might be adding 35 here. If I go refresh the page, they're in the bottom of the ninth right now. Still 9-3, but they've got two runners on, so they might actually avoid that. But the White Sox and Rockies... Let me find my spot on my notes here. With 34 games, the Royals with 33 games, the Pirates with 31, Rangers with 30. And the Pirates have a 226 winning percentage in the games where they've scored three or less. The real problem might even exist below that. The Pirates have scored less than three 21 times, which is fifth in the league, a 143. That's 3-18 when they score less than three runs. Less than two runs per game, in a game, 15 times. Tied with the Rockies for the most. That is less than two. That is one or zero. And we know they've been shut out eight times, which is also tied for the league lead, matched by Cincinnati. Eight shutouts for those two teams. Now, in the game where they score one or zero runs, the Pirates are 2-13. The Royals, when they score one run or less, 0-12. Just because we talked about them and pitching and all that stuff, 0-12. None of this should be surprising. You only score one run. Like, you got to shut out the other team So essentially the Pirates have two shutouts. You know what I mean? We're making a big deal about the four runs or less, but I think the real problem is really less than four. This month, they've only scored four runs four times. They're 2-2 in those games. Seems about right. And, you know, they're just trying to make it a streak. I get it. That's the whole thing. You want to be mad. But when you talk about the four runs, the exactly four runs, right? The 2024 Pirates had a .682 winning percentage when they scored four runs. Not four or more, just four, like exactly four runs. The 23 Pirates had a .565 winning percentage when they scored four runs. Even the 22 Pirates had a .625 winning percentage when scoring exactly four runs. And right now, this team is sitting at .385. You got to win the games you score four runs. And that's why four runs are not bad. So we're talking about the streak, but four runs is the staple. Above that is, like I said, four or five runs. Above that is like, it depends on what they've got to how much you need. So in this month, this is the last thing I'll say on this and move on past this. But in this month, the Pirates, had they scored four runs in any of their 14 losses, they would have won six of those games. If they would have scored four runs in all 14 losses, they would have six wins and two of them would be tied and they'd be going in extras. That'd make it an 11-8 if you take away the ties, obviously, give them losses. 11-8 month. Now, that's scoring four runs in every one of those games, which isn't very realistic. I mean, you're going to have games where less, and I don't know, I guess even it out, they'd be around .500. So we get all excited about the streak where they're heading into they haven't announced who's pitching for the Brewers tomorrow, but they're heading into a game or tonight rather. They're heading into a game tonight where they have a chance to be the first team ever. But if they score four runs and they win a game, like they've done everything that you would ever ask them to do. So like, it's not a problem. That's a good game. But yet it's going to be tacked on to this streak that, in my opinion, probably just shouldn't even really be a thing, I guess. But that's the way it is. Let's talk about a couple injuries. Jared Jones, I guess, we'll start with Valdez. Had surgery. He's done for the year. 6 months for his return, left shoulder surgery. That's all. There's more injury updates too that they've put out there, but you know, just a couple here. Jared Jones went in for surgery yesterday, on Wednesday, and had surgery on his elbow to repair some UCL damage. And obviously we all kind of assumed Tommy John, he's out this year, he's out next year, we'll see him in 27. However, this was an internal brace surgery. He's confirmed that on his Instagram. The Pirates have already announced 10 to 12 months, which is what threw the red flag. Like maybe this isn't Tommy John. And that's what it is. So this means he could return for like the second half of next year. So I just talked about this. Was it just yesterday's show where it was like, we may never see the Skeens, Jones, Chandler. But at this point, it feels like the second half of next year, we might be getting reinforcements and Jared Jones coming back. And if they actually do something in the offseason,
dang it, Bobby,
then maybe they'll be pushing for something in the second half of next year. I guess we just wait and see. But it's kind of good news from what we thought anyway. So I think that's a good thing. Tonight's game against the Brewers will be the first of four. Mike Burrows gets the call tonight. He's called up, and an interesting move, Majinski is sent down. Let's talk about Burrows first, and then let's talk about why isn't this Bubba Chandler? And then I have something to say about Majinski too. Burrows has started three games this month. He's pitched in four. He pitched three innings on May 1st in a game that he didn't start. So four games, 17 and two-thirds innings, 11 hits, two runs. That's a 1.02 ERA. He's only walked four guys. He struck out 28. He's got a 175 average against and a 0.85 whip. He's been hot. And making the move for a guy who's hot is absolutely what they should be doing here. I think this is a good move. I know I've been talking about Bubba and I've been trying to pick when Bubba was coming. And the whole time I'm saying this, I'm watching his starts and I'm thinking, man, I'm not sure that he's ready to come up right now. I thought they would do it anyway. But the one thing I wasn't doing is I wasn't paying attention to how well Mike Burrows has been pitching. And now that you look into this, man, he is hot. And this is a good way to go. Let's talk about Bubba Chandler. Maybe why. Let's talk about his May, because it matters. 17 innings, 19 hits, 6 runs. That's a 3.18 ERA, all in all. But 10 walks, 29 strikeouts. We know he's got that, and that's why the ERA ends up being lower. But a 2.88 average against and a 1.71 whip in May in 4 starts. That's less innings than Burrows in 3 starts and a 3-inning relief game. So Burrows is the guy, man. And here's the thing, like, it just wouldn't be right to bring up Bubba right now when he's not really that sharp. There's a little bit of struggle in him. He'll make it here when he settles down. We saw what he did in April. I mean, April, 1.33 ERA, 0.64 whip and only 6 walks. And 3.13 innings more than what he's thrown in May. He had less walks, less runs, half the runs, actually. 1.06 average against, like, he was absolutely electric. And he'll get back to that, and then it'll be time. For now, it's Burrow's turn. And I'm here for it. I'm excited for this. Majinski was kind of that one spot in the rotation right now, so long as Bailey Falter is pitching at home, where it's been a shaky, inconsistent, we'll say. There's been some good lately from Majinski. So why send him down? Why not bump him to the bullpen when it seems like we need bullpen help and it's very clear that Majinski's good early? I think the idea is that he's going to start in AAA and they want to continue to start him. I made the case that maybe you use him in long relief and keep him stretched out. And they went one step further and sent him to AAA to keep him stretched out. He'll have an opportunity to work on some of the things that was maybe getting him in trouble. And for Majinski to be an option in the rotation, I'm starting to warm up to. He's shown us some good in that scenario. And I talked about this week. If somebody calls about Heaney and they need to make a move and Bubba hasn't quite settled down yet, I mean, I'm going to Majinski. I think it only makes sense because I don't want to make a move for Bubba until he's ready. Not just because it's a 40-man move, but because it's a debut and you're starting the clock and the whole 9 yards. There's a bunch of things that will go in there and they matter little, but when there's a bunch of them, it kind of adds up. So I'm here for it. It's fine that it's not Bubba. He'll be here before too long. And quite frankly, we're 17 and 33. I think urgency is starting to fade if it's not all the way faded. I know for most of you, it certainly is. This team wants to be better. They want to win more games. Don Kelly wants this team to win more games so that he's got an opportunity to be the manager for likely a new GM next year. They're going to keep Majinski stretched out, and I think it's probably a good move, especially with the way pitching injuries are right now. He would already be ready to step right back into that role, and I'm okay with it. I would like to see him in the bullpen. I would like to see that bolstered, but at the same time, there's more value in a starting pitcher. I don't think that's changed yet. So not to mention, if he is figuring it out, does he become part of a trade chip for somebody else too? Possibly. I'm not sure, but he's more valuable as a starter. So if that becomes a thing, certainly could play. All right, guys, that's all I have for today. The Brewers series starts today. We talked about it. Burrows on the hill. 4-game series at home. Skeens, Keller, and PNC Falter going this weekend. I think it's fair to expect a split. We can expect that with a chance to take 3 of these games. the Brewers aren't lighting the world on fire right now. They certainly are, have a chance to be a hot team for a weekend for sure. So I get that. But if you could steal a game Thursday or Sunday with another good PNC Falter outing on Sunday and something from Mike Burrows here, like we said, we don't know who's going against them. Keller's going up against Priester. That's a winnable game. The big game is Friday night, Skeens, Peralta. So that one could flip either way. You know that with this offense. Should be an interesting series, but once again, playing against a team who's a little bit closer. We're not going up against the Mets and the Phillies. This is a fairer matchup for the Pirates, something you can expect to see some good baseball. And let's hope they break out of this streak. I don't care if they set the record. Let's hope something happens here and they can pop a good, you know, 8 or 9 run game out there again and just stop all this. And then they can just go and not have that hanging above their head. So happy Thursday, friends. It's almost
Friday.
Have a great day. Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Subscribing to your platform of choice is the best way to be notified for new episodes. And now, new episodes every weekday. Remember, live shows with my dad and Uncle Jake are Sundays at 9 p.m. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and join them in the live chat every Sunday. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.